Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
What's going on? This is Grind Season, you should know by now, episode 49 with your boys, Jason Smith, Anthony Sain. I'm one of your two co-hosts here on Grind Season. Make sure when you're looking for Grind Season, I have this pointed out to me, that it's you will miss it if you are not searching for SZN on Season. That's our spice. That's our flair. That's Brother Sain's creativity. But it's easily missed if you're searching for Grind Season in some places you might not find it. So where can you find us? Well, on the free Odyssey app, of course, or wherever you get your podcasts on Spotify. Sain's got us on this live tip here the last few shows, and it's been working pretty well. So we're pretty much just trying to be wherever y'all are at. So appreciate those of you that have supported us this season. Those of you continuing to jump on. And, man, we got a lot to talk about because the Grizzlies are at least one more game back into this series. The work ain't done. They'll have to stave off elimination on Friday. But we can only talk about Friday because of what occurred on Wednesday, 116-99 Grizzlies victory at FedEx Forum in Game 5. Ja Morant, Desmond Bane, both were huge. We're going to talk about it. We're going to talk about why it looked like that, why things were so much seemingly easier offensively for the Grizzlies, certainly for stretches that game. Saw a new lineup, a lot to discuss there with Sain. Really just checking in with him, seeing where our man is at this point. You know, we were, last time coming in here saying, talking about what was ahead of the Grizzlies. And I mean, it was a down feeling. Still a lot of work to do. But like I said, obviously feel a lot better about it than we did. Real quick, you guys that don't know, you can follow my brother Anthony Sain at Sain Asylum on Twitter. He is the true talent here. He is the guru. And we'll be going to him a lot for in terms of our three things today. First off, takes, what we thought from game one, why it worked so well. Secondly, Luke Kennard. This seems like it's going to be a big storyline going into game six. His status, he suffered a shoulder stinger in that game. Had ice, obviously exited the game, didn't come back. Realized what his presence, although he hit just two threes, he was plus 26 on the plus minus. Him and that small ball lineup worked against the Lakers. We'll discuss whether or not they're going to be able to use it again on Friday. And then finally, we'll break down a few keys, see what Sain's are, see what mine are for Friday night. Grizzlies have done this before. 2012, they were down 3-1 to the L.A. Clippers and forced a game seven back at home at FedEx Forum. Now, we know what happened that game. They, 82-72 loss, one of the worst Sundays in Memphis sports history. That said, this is not altogether unfamiliar territory for the Grizzlies. So, that's the show for the most part. A lot to discuss. Same first thing. Bane 33-10. Ja Morant 31-10. They were fantastic last night in game five. What was the key to it, and how do you keep it going, man?
That definitely was the key to get those two guys going the way they were going in such a big game here at FedEx Forum. Your two alpha dogs as far as scoring is concerned. Yeah, Jaren has had stretches where he's been that guy for sure, scoring 30, 40 points in the game, things like that. But the consistent thing that we know for sure is that Ja Morant and Desmond Bane are your two, big dogs that come down to scoring. And those guys are huge. Not just scoring, also rebounding. They had 20 rebounds combined, 10 rebounds apiece. Just taking advantage of everything the Lakers were giving them, especially Desmond Bane with the mid-range jump shot and getting to the basket. Ja, kudos to Ja Morant. I wish we were passing out seasoning again. I would definitely give him the seasoning today simply because Ja – I ain't gonna lie, man. I can be kind of a I can be kind of up and down as far as my optimism for this team. I take high highs and low lows when it comes down to how I feel about this team. And after game four, when Ja had the two consecutive drives where he tried to jump over LeBron James' head and, you know, got the two offensive fouls, I was like, man, these guys, they're about to get up out of here. You know what I mean? This is still where we are with Ja. But to see him adjust, you know what I mean, in game five and finish a lot more creatively and efficiently, you know, around the rim and safely around the rim, you know what I mean?
Protecting the hand.
I think that was huge. I think that was huge to see Ja doing that. It feels like momentum is definitely shifted in this series. I put a tweet out yesterday, digging into the stat nerd world a little bit, Jason Smith. I put out a tweet yesterday saying that ever since that 35-9 first quarter in game three, the Grizzlies are now plus 33 in the scoring since ever since then. We're up 33 points on the Lakers ever since being down 35-9 in the first quarter. That's impressive. You know what I mean? That's kind of what you're seeing. They lost game four, a tough overtime loss. Yesterday's game, you know, the score kind of got away from the Lakers. I want to say the momentum has shifted towards the Grizzlies simply because you have Ja Morant. He's playing great basketball. Seems like they found something with the whole Dylan Brooks thing as far as limiting his minutes, you know, and getting Luke Kennard on the floor, a guy that teams have to definitely defend, a guy who's going to be a lot more efficient when he does take shots. I think that all those things matter a lot, and I think that the Grizzlies definitely have a chance to win game six in L.A. They haven't looked bad in L.A. other than game three. They look really good in game four, and for most of game three, they look good, you know what I mean, except for that first quarter. So I think they're able to do this, and I think that the fact that the Lakers are playing what would be, in essence, three games in five nights, we've seen with this team, even post-trade deadline, even with LeBron James back, we see what this team looks like on short days rest. In the beginning of the series, where they had two and three days between games, and now they're in a situation where they're playing, like we said, three games in five nights. I think it's going to be a different-looking Lakers team. The Grizzlies have figured out a lot of things that the Lakers are trying to do. Guys like Rui Hachimura seem to have come down to earth a little bit, and I'm excited to see what's going to happen tomorrow for sure.
Question here. I'm on your momentum point. I'm with you that the Grizzlies picked up some momentum last night in terms of you throw a new wrinkle out there. Lakers clearly weren't prepared for it, and it worked for you. I would stop short of saying like you've just seized it, though, just saying – counter, because we don't know Luke's status yet.
Right, right.
Like if I knew that was something that I knew was going to be there again, and it's – listen, he only had to hit two threes for that to loosen up the entire offense. Lakers have got to guard him. I don't care if it's Dylan Brooks, if it's Conchar, even if it's Roddy who had the one decent shooting game, they're not going to respect those guys in the same way that to respect Conchar. So if he – and I believe he's going to go. I mean, realizing how – potentially important he is to the rest of the series. I think he plays, but listen, you had to win that one. You know, here's the other thing. Like the Lakers, you know, all the pressure is on them at this point. And you know, in saying so, you know, that it, LeBron James ain't letting this get back to Memphis. Like that's the way he's got to be approaching this, right? I don't know. I just feel like I guess I'm just saying I don't know that momentum that the Grizzlies have seized momentum just by winning, keeping the series alive. But I am with you that I'm way more optimistic about it because of the way it happened, because of the fact that last year this time you were going out to Golden State after a blowout game six win to game five win to force game six. You didn't have Ja, and you had Bane with a bad back.
With the back injury, yep.
You literally had no chance. Whereas now you've got these guys coming off of huge games that were made even bigger by Luke Kennard's presence. That's what helped loosen that up. And hopefully you can keep those three things going. Again, if it, I think we're on the same page. If it gets back to Memphis on Sunday, we are not going to have the same result that we saw in 2012 where the Grizzlies ended up losing that game to the Clippers 82-72. Like if this, momentum will have been seized if they win Friday night. That's right. Where I'm
I came into this series kind of really downplaying the Lakers, saying that the Grizzlies have just more talent. And I think the fact that you have these two perimeter star level players, Ja Morant, who's definitely an NBA star, that's not even debatable, and Desmond Bane, who's, you know, approaching that level for sure. I think that that's something that the Lakers really don't have an answer for, especially if with Taylor Jenkins, who's took him four games to realize it, but with Taylor Jenkins making those adjustments for Dillon Brooks, getting him off, you know, the court and not allowing him to take as many shots. It's still wild as hell that Dillon took 10 three-pointers last night. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. But I think that that's a talent leap, man. To get Ja and Bane unlocked at this point in the series, I think that's a major factor. And I think these guys, and if you want to talk about numbers as far as being like, you know, with, as far as the spread goes, being an underdog and how we haven't, you know what I mean, beat this beat. We haven't won any of those games. We haven't won in L.A. at all on the road this year. I think something just has to give, man. And I think I can definitely see these guys coming out with a victory in game six for sure.
Well, Desmond Bane said it after they lost, well, game four, that they would be, you know, there would be a game seven in Memphis. He looks more right after the game five win. And right now he looks like he's getting stronger and a guy that you can get behind. He ran out of gas in the overtime in that game four win, but he looked like he was the strongest man on the floor last night. At a time where we're talking about, you know, days in between and how much that could hurt the Lakers, the number of minutes played by LeBron, and can he hold up? It feels like for Bane and for Ja, the thing, they're getting stronger. And from Ja's standpoint, I'm not even so much physically, it's what you touched on, the willingness to make the adjustment, to see right. that I had it wrong at the, and here's my adjustment. It's a different approach. I'm not going to try to jump. I'm gonna play smart, frankly. Taylor Jenkins showing finally willing to make the adjustment. I'm taking, in this case, Kennard over Dillon Brooks. I'm not going to let Dillon Brooks, you know, kill me, even though Dillon Brooks sure tried. Like the fact that those adjustments were made gives me more confidence about Friday night. There's no question about it. Go ahead.
Not just Kennard over Dillon offensively, but also switching Tillman as LeBron James' primary defender. We came into this series talking so much about how Tillman was going to be the guy that guards AD. Dillon guards, you know, LeBron. We get that matchup and LeBron and you know, all the shit talking that was going on about Dillon and guarding LeBron, all those type of things. And now we've seen Tillman draw that assignment now. And we've seen DB kind of guarding AD a little bit and, you know, different things like that. But I'm excited to see that. I think that that Coach Jenkins has definitely made those two adjustments involving Dillon Brooks, and we've seen them be, you know, beneficial to this team in the last game.
The Lakers were not expecting that Tyus Jones, Ja, Luke, Desmond, Jaren Jackson Jr. lineup. And Taylor Jenkins, in my estimation, was getting out coached in this series. He needed a new wrinkle. And I said that was something obviously that had to happen, something new, but in this case it paid off. So, you know, that's what you're paid to do, you know, to make those adjustments. To you can't just keep hitting your head on the wall, not making any, like we saw Budenholzer do last night. At some point, it's on you. So I liked the adjustments that were made, both from the coaching standpoint, obviously we all do, and from the player standpoint.
Right.
Clearly, hopefully, you're hoping, you know, your backcourt can be the difference again against the because that's what we said coming into the series. And finally, in Game 5, it was like, oh, this is the backcourt that we said the Lakers couldn't defend. Well, Luka and R being on the floor seem to be a big part of that. We'll touch on that more in a second. Before we do, you're listening to Grind Season. On the free Odyssey app, you can get us on Spotify. You can get us live. Sane's got us innovating always. Appreciate you guys that have hopped on this season so much, more than you know. I think this is going. Sane getting us the backgrounds and everything else, bro. You done brought us out of the caves pretty fast. So
yeah, man, we ain't playing with y'all out here, man.
Hopefully, we'll continue to innovate and grow.
I got the Bruce Leroy green glow around me right now, though. Shout out to the Last Dragon.
Yeah, it does
the
look
green
like
green screen technology. Yeah, I got that glow.
I don't have the glow because I don't.
You gotta get that green screen.
My green screen up. That's why I got that tray. Luke Kennard all of a sudden feels like a pivotal storyline in this series because, as Sane touched on, as we talked about last night, you saw Luke Kennard play just 18 minutes, limited because of a shoulder stinger, runs into LeBron on the screen, but makes a while he's in Grizzlies. Led by 26, outscored the Lakers by 26 points. That plus minus jumped off the page at you, and it did because of how much better that offense was with him in there. I don't think any of us had expected it to look like that, where, sure, Jaren at center, but where you got Tyus and Luke out there with John Bain, it's essentially four shooters in a way, technically. I mean, I guess if we're counting Jaren Jackson, in the sense, it's four shooters around Ja, kind of opens things up. Things have gotten bogged down because Dylan Brooks continues to brick threes and take shots that the Lakers give him. And in doing so, it's packed things in. It's made it easy. Luke's presence alone helped loosen that up, because you're talking about the best three-point shooter in the league. So do you think he plays? I got two different opinions, sort of, and I want to throw them at you, of two columnists that were in that locker room last night. One, Jeff Calkins, who said he wasn't inspired exactly with confidence by the tone that Kennard used about his status and, hey, would you be able to go? My man Giannotto, who I talked to on his show, Jeffrey Giannotto on 929, he said he just thought, you know, that Kennard was just talking and didn't really put any extra stock in it. Shoulder stinger, you know, we're not doctors, but do you think he plays on Friday? Do you think he's available to go?
Yeah, if we're talking about a shoulder stinger and that's it, yeah, I think he's playing. I mean, if nothing else is going on, I think he'll be fine. You got to remember, like you said, Luke didn't make a lot of threes. He didn't even take a lot of threes, you know what I mean? Right. But if he's out there, I think if it's a pain tolerance thing, he'll be out there, you know, even if he can't really, you know, take a lot of shots or whatever. And teams are going to defend him just off his reputation, whether he's hurt or not. So I think, like you talked, you asked the question, is Jaren Jackson Jr. a shooter? You know what I mean? You threw that out there. And the answer that, to me, the answer to that is yes, because teams will defend him like he's a shooter. Yeah. That's really all that matters. Our guy's going to get out and defend this guy you got out on the wing. Dylan Brooks, they weren't. They were leaving him extremely open. They were guarding him like he was Tony Allen back when he was here.
And he is playing into the hand, saying,
he's playing right into it. Yeah, and it's crazy how we talked about with Dylan how, oh, man, Dylan's trying to goat LeBron. And both of us were like, nah, that ain't happening. Like, LeBron's going to do what he want to do. But he's the one that they played that right into his hands. You know what I mean? Even when LeBron came over and was like, hey, man, make some shots. That was mind games. LeBron said, yeah, man, make some shots. Do your job. And then, you know, then you can come at me. And you saw Dylan go out there and take shots and miss more shots because LeBron knew that's what he was going to do.
Bro, he says he's going to take more. LeBron's still winning the mind games. He said last night there's going to be a game where he hits three or four of them.
Yeah, it's I definitely do want to see Luke out there instead of Dylan. And this is what frustrates me too. Like, when Coach Jenkins basically was sitting on the whole, you know, it was obvious that he was not playing Luke because Luke isn't the best defender. And I get that. And I'll throw another player out who is not as good as a shooter as Luke Kennard, but D'Angelo Russell, one of the worst defenders in the entire NBA, has been unplayable to the eye. The Grizzlies have been, you know, seeking him in pick and roll actions the entire series. Whoever his man is, they're attacking him. That's been happening the entire series. But Coach Darvin Ham knew, we're down nine. We're down seven. We need some buckets. One, two, three straight threes in a row. D'Angelo Russell knocks him down because he's a scorer. He's one of those guys who's not afraid to take big shots. He made three big shots the other night. Sometimes you have to take the sacrifice within the flow of the game. You got to find a way for these guys who aren't good defenders to get out there and score. Ja Morant isn't a good defender. He's on the floor, though. You know what I mean? So it's like, I get it, understand that, but a guy like Luke Kennard can literally change a series. He was almost plus 30. I think he was like plus 26 or something like that last night.
That's why I like the point early, saying not falling into a, you know, waiting till you're in a hole to use them when stops become even more critical, but deploying them early. Maybe, and listen, I kind of bucked at it when Jeffrey Wright asked me, but I'll ask it to you just because the more I think about it, the more I want, and the more I look at Dylan Brooks, the more that I say, is this man even following the game plan? Should they just start him? Should they just start Kennard, or is it a deal where, hey, man, if Brooks doesn't make the first one, you can pull him after a couple minutes? Because what you don't want to do, to your point, is wait too late. This Lakers storm is coming the first quarter. Now you need stops and points, and you got Kennard and Jai out there, and it's tougher to do that. Should they just start Kennard over Dylan at this point?
I'm going to tell you what I would do. I would not start Dylan, but I also would not start Luke Kennard.
Okay.
I would do a total curveball that the Lakers may not be expecting.
I'm listening to this. What is it? Who, Roddy?
I would start Santi.
Santi.
I would start Santi in game six because he's going to be a matchup problem for somebody. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I would put him out there. They kind of got to guard him. He can knock down those threes too. And I just think he could just kind of mix things up a little bit in a way the Lakers may not be ready for. Because you're talking about guys, a true seven-footer. If you can get him going in some type of way, I just think why not just throw a curveball just to see how the Lakers respond to a third big being on the court, a big that's kind of versatile.
You know, I'm all for a curveball right now, saying, because that curveball worked in game five. I like curveball. Right.
Especially if it's something that causes, like if AD says, okay, I got to guard one of these dudes. Okay, LeBron says, okay, I'll guard Tillman. Then AD says, I got to guard either Jaren or Santi. But you got Santi out there at the three-point line. You got Jaren at the three-point line. Now AD's like, oh, shit, well, where do I go? You know what I mean? So, you know what I mean? You could do something like that could happen. But to your question, yes. If Luke Kennard is available, I would 100% start him in this game just to switch things up. I would like to see Santi too. That's why I threw that out there. But we all know.
Santi played pretty well off the last one.
Yeah.
And then weirdly, exactly. we didn't see Roddy.
That's what made me think about it. Yeah, that's what made me think about it. You might want to do some weird lineups with Santi. Get him on the court more, even in the position that's not a natural position. But I would start Luke Kennard over Dylan Brooks. But we know that Coach ain't doing this shit. Nah, you know Dylan's going to start, man. And it's crazy. It's crazy that you know he's gonna do that, but I'm not mad because I am confident the coach sees that that Dylan, he saw it. You know, that Dylan sat for most of the third quarter. He came back in the fourth quarter after the Luke Kennard injury. But I think the coach sees and he knows that that playing Luke works
for sure. Well, if he didn't see it with his own eyeballs, I'm sure he saw the quote from Dylan afterwards. He asked about from our man DeMichael Cole from the commercial appeal about his shooting struggles. Said, it's been challenging. I'm used to a certain standard for myself. One of these games, I'm going to break out for three or four threes and change the game. That tells me this brother still thinks he's individually the difference maker, going to come out and take another 12. Two for 10 be damned.
Right.
He's going to win game six. I'm not going to let a man like that that's out here on his own, Mad Max and sink me. It's not happening. So, Taylor, you better pull him again tomorrow. You let Dylan Brooks sink you, and man, that's on you at this point, because Dylan is what he is. He's shown us that man is playing for the Lakers. Dylan Brooks plays for the Lakers.
and I'm telling you, bro, we joked about this earlier. Like, and when we talk about where Dylan's going to end up next year, I don't think he's going to play for the Grizzlies. I have the Lakers as a team that Dylan could play for. Every guy that has been a antagonist to LeBron James, it's ended up playing with LeBron. Same thing with Kobe. They remember these type of guys, these irritants. You know what I mean? So I could totally see, you talk about he's playing for the Lakers. I can see him playing for the Lakers for real. Like, he's the type of guy that those type of guys covet. You know what I mean? So
when he decided to dress like that pimp, remember a couple of weeks ago he came with the hair down?
Yeah.
That's when it was over, bro.
Yeah, you knew it was over.
Man can't buy a shot.
Right.
Was supposed to be our best defender on the perimeter. Been replaced by Xavier Tillman. We're going to drive him to the airport. We're going to do a grind season escort to the airport for Dylan Brooks.
And wheels in the air.
We're going to free agency and out of here. Love Dylan, and it's with the utmost respect. But, bro, you have shown that you are out. Like, you out for real.
Yeah.
So it's
ugly and nasty now, man, because it's like the fan base is just totally against them. They were here this time of year also, as far as Dylan. And it's just the numbers just don't lie, man. Like, we're just better when he's not on the court. And then we've seen Tillman do a better job of guarding LeBron. LeBron shot like something, like a real bad percentage just overall yesterday. He was having a lot of problems with Tillman altogether. And
yeah, he hates Tillman guarding. 5 of 17, LeBron was one. He wanted to stay there and shoot threes. Went 1 of 9 from three. You know, just sit there.
If we find a way to get out of this series, it may look a little different against Steph Curry with Dylan. But man, we saw Dylan acting ass last year and get kicked out of a game. You know what I mean? And get suspended. You know what I mean? So it's gonna be tough, man. I'm just excited we're in game six situation. They took care of the business yesterday. Look free, loose doing it. The game got a little tighter than it needed to be at a certain point in the fourth quarter, but they opened it back up again in the fourth quarter as well. LeBron and them look tired, man. Them dudes was looking – they're about to turn around after one day's rest and turn around and play another one. So I'm hoping we can lean into that. But I hope Luke Kennard is fine. That's the biggest part, that he's healthy, that he can get out there and go. But I believe if he's able to do that, then we'll be fine for sure.
Yep. You're listening to the Grind Season podcast here. You can get on the free Odyssey app. We are an Odyssey podcast, of course, but you can get us wherever Spotify can get us live. We're on YouTube now. We're everywhere. To search for Grind Season with the S-Z-N on season. We said it. Friday night's a big one. Late tip, 9:30 out in La La Land. Same mention it. Grizzlies 0-5 at crypto this year. That includes a road loss to the Clippers. The other four, two out there in the regular season, and obviously the two in games 3 and 4. Same mention of two, 0-16 as a road underdog this year, the Memphis Grizzlies. No NBA team the last 30 years has gone winless as a road underdog for a full season. So the Grizzlies have that trend that they're trying to buck as well on Friday. You look at the line, I think most recently a 4.5 point. Lakers are favored by 4.5. So you're talking about trying to do something you hadn't done all season in terms of trying to win as a road underdog. That said, it's just like Shane touched on it. I mean, you were in game four with control there, about 5 minutes left. You're up 7. So it's not like you're looking at crypto and saying this is some beast you haven't been able to tame. You've had some bad moments. That first game out there, the Shannon Sharp thing, Desmond Bane getting the ball stolen by Schroeder there late. You know, you have blown leads out there. But I'm saying all that to say it's time to, you know, finally put that thing to rest to close one of these out in crypto. If to do that on Friday night, I mean, we've touched on a lot of the keys, but your biggest key in terms of Friday night forcing a game 7, trying to get LeBron to even closer to what would be the first time ever him blowing a 3-1 lead. What? Give me a couple of sane keys.
The number one key to me, man, is, you know, LeBron's going to go hard. You know, AD's probably going to go hard too. You cannot let these other dudes get you, whether that's Austin Reeves, whether it's Rui Hachimura, who's kind of came back to earth, D'Angelo Russell, who hit those three big three-pointers on the night when we were up 7. You can't let those kind of guys, you know what I mean? You can't let those guys go off on you at all. And you've got to make shots. You've got to make multiple three-point shots. You got to create easy offense, get some open shots going. And those once those things happen, you're going to be good. Jaren's got to stay out of foul trouble. He's got to be aggressive because of John Bane. You feel confident they're about to bring it in game 6. If you can get Jaren being super assertive as well, it might be a short night, you know what I mean, for the Lakers. If you can get all three of those guys cooking at the same time. But two of those three for sure have to get going. I think it's going to be a fun game, man. I hate it's a late start again, but I think it's going to be a really fun game. Worth staying up for middle-aged guys like you and myself.
Now, I tell you what, I mean, you talk about quick turnarounds. This one's a quick turnaround for them. And if you can somehow force that game 7, Lakers got to come back here, be out there, 12 or 2:30 or whatever that start's going to be, depending upon the Kings and Golden State and whether that goes to a game 7. But you think about how quick that turnaround would be for them. So that's why it just feels, if you can get
this example, I'm definitely in the Grizzlies' favor.
It feels like the series right here, tonight, game 6. It really does. I know that's the way that LeBron James, Anthony Davis think about. Here's what I'm saying. I almost think, as good as that backcourt is for the Grizzlies right now, Jaren Jackson, you know, he's rebounding, he's blocking shots. I almost feel, you said it for me, if it's a LeBron 30-point game and an AD 30-point game, I've almost expected at this point they're going to dump out everything they've got. What you cannot have is Austin Reeves having 22, and then, you know, Schroeder and D'Angelo have gotten you two with double digits. That's the – just keep everybody – You cannot let these other guys, and listen, that, you know, we ain't talking about all-stars here. Like, that's the other thing about it. They've been depending a ton on these dudes, and they've come through for them for the most part. But Rui is what Rui is. He was shooting 29% as a Laker before this series from three. So hopefully you're not getting two or three other guys having good double-digit games, because I think that's the difference. I don't think just a good LeBron and a good AD can beat you by themselves. They need, whether it's Reeves, whether it's Russell for a 9-point stretch, it's been the other guys, their supporting cast, really, that's sort of been the difference so far. You know, we're just now seeing with this point with Kennard and, you know, one from Roddy, you know, got one good performance from Roddy the other night. It's that their supporting cast hopefully not being as good as they've been for the series, and that is just up to LeBron AD, because LeBron is breaking down, bro. That foot, the body, you can see it. It's wearing on him. Quick turnaround. He's talking about getting as much sleep as he can before 6. I don't know. The opportunity is there, and if you get back here for a 7, it feels like it's going to be a lot different than 2012 when you could only make 72 points. It's against the Clippers.
For sure. For sure. Yeah. Don't even remind me of that game. That mess was disgusting.
82-72. Can you even believe that was a game seven score?
Yeah.
72 yeah. points score at home. At home.
I forgot that was a game seven because I was thinking, have we ever had a game seven? I don't think we have, but I forgot about that series for sure. Yeah.
Yeah, on a Sunday, man, it was nasty. They had fallen behind 3-1. 2012, that will not happen again. Again, can't get to seven without winning six. Hopefully, yep. we're going to be back here not breaking down the season that was come next week, saying Monday or whatever. Mm-hmm. What we're going to be doing is breaking down Grizzlies, Warriors game one.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That'll be a hell of an episode.
Like conviction around this jump.
That'll be a hell of an episode 50 for sure. If we can come back next week, our 50th episode of Grind Season is getting out of the first round, getting ready for the Warriors or the Kings.
You remember how distant that felt just a short time ago when we were saying we were jealous of the Kings wanting to be the team to
they about to get that out
and then we were like, man, well, hell, we ain't gonna get past the Lakers, but we were the Golden State.
Like it's possible we're gonna be the team. Yeah. And what's crazy is
this might be right back in front of you.
Yeah, and what's crazy is a couple weeks ago, I was like, man, Miami is about to blow this up. Remember I said that on Twitter? Like, Miami Heat about to blow this whole roster. Who y'all want on this roster?
I thought he coach was gone.
Them dudes Jimmy, are really – they really almost got a path to get to the conference finals. I wouldn't be surprised if they got past the Knicks. I mean, for real.
Yeah.
That's going to be a super fun old school war series too, man. That's
gonna
be
fun. Real quick, just a predict before we get off, Budenholzer, stay or go, keep or no? Somebody's head got a roll for that, for losing to the shorthanded eight seed.
Hey,
yeah, that's record.
Speaking of pillaging off somebody's roster, I hope they do break that thing up because I would love to get my hands on a couple pieces over there in Milwaukee for sure. So I think Budenholzer's out. I think they're gonna let him go. I think only reason why I say I don't, I think that Giannis has a little freak GM in him too. I can't say little GM like LeBron, but I think he's got a little freak GM in him too. So I think he kind of makes that call. I don't think he's down for that. I think he's one of those guys. Seems like he kind of wants to keep things together.
Yeah.
So yeah, if it were me, I would get rid of him because I don't think he's that good of a coach. But I won't get into what that leads me to. But I'm not going to talk about who comes from his coaching tree. But I don't think Bud's that good of a coach. But
I got made some adjustments last night.
Yeah, I ain't seen Bud making an adjustment ever.
Nah, that's always been the knock on him.
Yeah,
always. He didn't make any in this series, man. Let a one man Jimmy Butler team beat him.
Last night, Taylor Jenkins was like, "I'm letting Bud down, but I'm gonna do this. I know I'm letting Bud down.
I'm making these changes."
Yeah.
Bud a six
red eyed ass. Yeah. Man, red as a motherfucker last night, boy.
Yeah, he looked sad. Man, Giannis didn't help him going 10 to 23 from the free throw line, bro. Mm-hmm. I've never seen a superstar be that bad at the free throw line. Anyway, that's their problem, the Bucks' issues. We've got our own. Starts with game six tomorrow night, 9:30. We're all excited about it. Again, Grizzlies, 4.5-point underdogs for the first time this season. Going to win as a road underdog. We're predicting it right now, hopefully getting it back here for a game seven on Sunday. That's tonight's episode. Saints said it, 49. Next one will be around 50. And hopefully we'll be talking about round two.
Yep. Either way, we're talking about the next – what's next? We're talking about the next round or next season.
You're right. Saints is right about that. But appreciate you guys for joining us. Again, we'd be remiss not to tell our producer, executive producer Drew Barrett, how appreciative we are of him. Just wouldn't be able to get it done without him. For my man, Anthony Sane, the true talent here, I am Jason Smith. Stay on your grind and win game six.
Big Memphis.